In this episode, I want to cover off what it takes to get started with investing in property in the UK. Obviously, I'm from Northern Ireland, but I think a lot of this will resonate and be applicable in the whole of the UK. So this is coming off the back of a conversation I had with a friend of mine recently. So he gave me a call and we literally were on the phone for around 30 minutes. And he literally just peppered me with questions. And it got me thinking, I'm sure there are other people out there who might have similar questions, thoughts, and maybe ponderings about what it takes and I guess what you need to be considering when you want to invest in property. So I thought I'd record a podcast episode to share some of my learnings so far. Obviously, bear in mind, I only have two rental properties, so still got a lot to learn, but I think what I can share with you will hopefully be of benefit. So let's jump into it. Again, this is coming off the back of that phone call with a friend of mine, and just wanted to share some of the thoughts that I passed on to him, because I think at least he said it was useful. So hopefully you will find it helpful too. So he framed the conversation at the start with two to three things, you know, that he should be looking into or considering if he is going to look at purchasing his first rental property. So the first thing I said was, and it's a bit of an obvious one, but at least begin to start to get educated. And when he asked me, you know, where's maybe the best resources to get started, the first thing I suggested, and interestingly, his wife had just recently purchased this book for him. One of the first books that I ever read was called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it's obviously not a book that is solely specifically dedicated to buying property in the UK. But what it does do is open up your mind to, you know, financial education, managing money, personal finances, the idea of purchasing assets as a concept, and I guess getting your mind prepped for perhaps becoming more of an investor rather than, you know, maybe just a traditional person who consumes and manages money like everyone else in the world, I guess. So yeah, it's beginning to get curious and applying that mindset that comes when you need to be thinking about what it takes to own an investment property. So that was one of the first books I recommended. I also suggested and recommended literally going on to YouTube and Spotify or whatever podcast platform you use, and just being curious, you know, typing in exactly what question specifically to property investing that you might have, and, you know, watching that content or listening to that podcast episode to understand from some of these experts or gurus or whatever, people who have done that thing that you want to do, and understand what it takes to you know, to attain it, if you like. So that was one of the things. And then I also said, obviously, speaking with people in your family circle or existing network that you know own investment property, if it's specifically rental property investing that you want to get into. So that was the one of three things. The second thing I suggested was to get a good mortgage advisor, or at least to make contact or get in touch with a good mortgage advisor, just to simply, again, take that learning and put it that one step further into action, if you like, by, you know, asking a person in the industry what you've been learning from those podcasts or YouTube videos or conversations you've maybe had with family or friends, asking those specific nuanced questions of a mortgage advisor, because they are the type of profession or person who is going to really understand what you will need in terms of, you know, finances, income, perhaps your credit score, and everything that it's going to take to be able to get a mortgage if that's the path that you're considering taking when purchasing the rental property. So yeah, they're going to help you understand the current position that you're in, whether or not you are going to be able to borrow from lenders, so the banks that are going to provide you with a loan to purchase the property. The third and kind of final thing that I suggested, which is obviously very, very important, is the funds. So obviously this is a crucial part of being able to actually go ahead and put the wheels in motion. You need to understand the numbers of what exactly is involved and therefore how much you'll need to get started and actually be in a position to make the next step and go out there, start viewing properties and be confident that you know that you will be able to purchase it. So if you don't have the right amount saved up, then obviously then it's making a plan to save that up and get to a point where you're in the position to be able to purchase. Obviously, one of the key things to consider is the purchase price of the property. So how much is that actually worth? What is the property worth, and what is the purchase price that you're gonna need in order to buy it? So if you're buying cash, obviously you're gonna need the full amount, but I'm gonna assume here that you are purchasing the property with a buy to let mortgage. And I'm also gonna assume, as an example, that the purchase price is £100,000. So next you're gonna potentially need a mortgage broker fee of around £400 to £500. You'll also need to set aside stamp duty of 3% of the purchase price. So that is, in this example, £3,000, 3% of £100,000. The next cost that you're also going to need to consider is the legal fees by way of instructing a solicitor to help you with all the kind of legal documents and so on when it comes to purchasing a property. And then so finally, you'll also need to think about or consider, are there any bits and pieces when it comes to the property that you might need to refurb or refurbish? And when I say that, I mean things like maybe you need to do a light paint job of the property. Maybe you need to give it a bit of a clean before potential tenants would move in. Maybe there's a couple of light bulbs that need fixing or some light maintenance out in the garden or walls, etc. So you'll want to just maybe put aside a very rough amount of maybe £1,000. Obviously, this is going to vary vastly depending on the property and the condition that it's in. But based on all of those costs I've kind of just outlaid there, you're probably looking at around, roughly, according to my spreadsheet here in front of me, £31,000, assuming that the purchase price is £100,000, and obviously assuming then that you can get a mortgage in place of £75,000, assuming that you're going to have the £25,000 of the deposit. So next, I wanted to share month to month, what are the key expenses that you can expect to be paying off of the income that you're going to assume to be receiving from the tenant that's staying in your rental property. So the first kind of expense or cost that I have down on my list here is, you'll likely want to be putting away, by way of a kind of good practice, around 10% of your rental income per month. This is really so that at the end of the year, you have a bit of a budget in case anything needs fixing or updating or maintained along the way. And actually, you might need to tap into that or use that, you know, maybe a couple of months into your tenancy with the current tenant that's in there. But yeah, it's just a good practice to get into, to put away a certain amount each month so that you're not kind of shocked or surprised maybe at the end of 12 months or after a couple of years when a boiler needs fixing or serviced, or there's maybe a fresh lick of paint needed throughout the entire property. And yeah, it's just a good practice to get into in terms of saving and setting aside that amount each month. So next, the next expense I have kind of down here is rates. So in Northern Ireland, the equivalent tax to council tax, as it's known in England and Wales, is called rates. So this is the money collected through by local authorities so that they can pay for local services such as, you know, maintaining parks, collecting rubbish and other elements to do with kind of local council activities, if you like. So these are typically paid for by the landlord. At least that's been my experience and what I've observed here in Northern Ireland. So again, this is going to vary greatly depending on I think the property size, type, area, etc. And you'll want to, look into how much the rates are for the property that you're considering purchasing. The next expense or cost to consider is the property insurance for the house that you're buying. And specifically, you're gonna need, rental property or buy-to-let property insurance. And this is usually paid, obviously, I think it's usually up to your choice, but paid annually or monthly. I usually try to just pay it all in one go annually so that you can kind of not have to pay any interest on top of that. They usually favor obviously paying in full if that's possible or if you can. But you usually do have the option to pay monthly. But yeah, you're gonna want to look into that and really understand the detail behind each insurance policy. So don't be afraid to ideally get on the phone with an insurance broker or provider and yeah, ask questions, really get to grips with what the various policies cover, and don't be afraid to, like I say, ask questions and really come to a solid understanding. Almost use it as an opportunity to educate yourself further through these brokers or providers who are going to be obviously keen for your business. The next expense that I've got written down, and this will depend on your own personal circumstances, obviously, is any accountancy costs. And this will be so that you can file for perhaps self-assessment taxes if it's for if the property is purchased in your name, or if it's a limited company, then obviously you're going to need to file the company accounts for that company. And like I mentioned, obviously this will depend on your own personal circumstances in terms of ownership, whether it's in your name or the company's name, and also whether or not you are, being taxed at the various tax brackets. So again, will depend on your own personal circumstances. The next expense or cost is obviously the mortgage that's going to be paid per month. So this is going to be a buy-to-let, typically an interest-only mortgage. So something that I really didn't appreciate or know until I, got going was the fact that almost 95% of all landlords will use interest-only mortgages when purchasing properties. And I think really largely this is down to the fact that then you are going to be receiving more cash flow from your rental income after all the expenses if you're on a capital repayment mortgage, which is the typical type of mortgage that you would be having on your personal home, for example, then there really wouldn't be much by way of profit or income after all expenses if you were using a repayment mortgage. So I think that's one of the main reasons, as well as a couple of other reasons, why typically the mortgage will be an interest only buy-to-let mortgage. So that's one of the chunkier expenses that you can expect to pay on a month-to-month basis. Next, and again, this will depend on your own personal preferences and what you plan to do with the property, but it's who is going to manage the property. And if it's not going to be you, then you're going to need to pay likely a letting agent to look after the tenancy and to manage the property and the tenant appropriately. This is usually, based on my experience and what I've heard and seen out there, around 8 to 10% of the monthly rental income. So if you are renting your property for, say, £700 per month, then you can expect roughly to pay £70, for example. And just another kind of point or side note on that, usually my experience has been that letting agents will provide obviously that month-to-month management service, and like I say, that's between 8 to 10% of the monthly rental income. What they will also charge you for, however, is a one-off fee to find a tenant. So that will usually include, putting your property up on the relevant property websites and obviously therefore taking great photos of the interior and exterior of your property and therefore marketing the property that it is for rent, and ultimately then finding a suitable tenant and drawing up the contract and all that good stuff. That is usually a one-off cost. And then from there, you can either just, you know, if you're managing it yourself, you can use that service that letting agents will provide, a finder's fee, if you like. But then obviously the management fee per month is just a separate cost, if you like. So then after all of these costs, ideally, and when I say costs, I mean not just the letting agent, I mean the mortgage, the accountancy fees, the letting agent monthly cost, the insurance, the rates, and setting aside annual expenses, 10% or so for annual expenses. After all these costs, ideally you'll have an amount left over, which is ultimately going to be your profit before taxes. So then, of course, like I mentioned, depending on whether you've purchased the property in your personal name or maybe in joint names or in a limited company, will depend on how much tax you will pay on that income. And this is obviously, of course, where it is probably best to have a good accountant to help you in terms of just counting all those costs, expenses, the income, and so on up, and understanding how much exactly you have to pay for in tax. So hopefully you found this episode insightful and useful. I am going to try and aim to share some more insights, knowledge, experience based on what I'm seeing and living out when it comes to property investing and managing a portfolio of two rental properties right now. I'm keen to obviously keep expanding and growing and learning, and hopefully getting another rental property under the belt. But hopefully this is useful for you if you are considering buying a rental property, and hopefully it sheds some light on the cost that you can expect at the start, and then also on a month-to-month basis what you can expect to be receiving, obviously an income, but more importantly probably the expenses that come along with owning and managing a rental property.